This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and it is about time to pull up a chair, because we're all going to learn something, all right? Again, there are two things that the average person, even on the right, doesn't know about right now, and they're gigantic, important things you must learn about. Number one, we're not going to go into this too much right now, the World Economic Forum. They have a meeting. It costs inhuman amounts of money to even get in the meeting. They meet. They have government officials, many of them, including in this country, on speed dial. When the head of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, born in Germany in 1938, when he calls the president of the United States or he calls Xi Jinping of China, they either take his call or they will call him back. This guy, I played this audio yesterday, this Dr. Yuval Noah, the guy who wants to be beyond God, he's a major player in the World Economic Forum.
The only thing God managed to create are organic beings. All these trees and giraffes and humans, they are just organic. But we are now trying to create inorganic entities, inorganic life forms, cyborgs, artificial intelligence, and so forth. If we succeed, and there is a very good chance we will, then very soon we will be beyond the God of the Bible.
That's not a Bond movie villain. That's the World Economic Forum. Justin Trudeau is World Economic Forum. Go look up World Economic Forum. These are the people, World Economic Forum. They have already partnered with the United Nations. Again, this is public information. Just stay with me. They've already partnered with the United Nations for their 2030 plan, the year 2030, where they're going to cram this environmental filth down your throat within the next 8 years and starve about 1 billion people to death. That's real. It's happening, which brings us to ESG. I have an email here. Hi, Jesse. I'm a fairly new listener, and I'm not understanding this ESG thing. If you need to say it louder for those in the back when we like something, say it slower for those in the front when we just don't get it. Love Medal of Honor Mondays and the History Rants. Thanks. Says I can say her name. Her name is Kristen. Don't worry about not getting it. I'm learning while you learn. We're learning together. I read all this stuff. I have friends who are experts on it. I'm learning while you learn. So now, right here, on the air, live, let's do this together. ESG. As long as you're not driving, this will just take a second. I want you to pause what you're doing. Open up your laptop, pull up your phone, and I want you to pick your bank. Your bank. And I want you to look up, do an internet search for the name of your bank in ESG. Now, this isn't my bank, but for the sake of this thing right here, I'm going to type in Bank of America ESG. There it is. First page, Bank of America. Bank of America has an ESG page. Again, this is not some separate groups page. This is Bank of America. They have an ESG page. The head of it right here, I'm reading it. It says Environmental Social Governance Reports. And here's a subheadline. And don't worry if this gets confusing. I'm going to walk you through all of it, okay? The subheadline is this. We demonstrate our commitment to transparency by disclosing our government environmental, social, or by disclosing our environmental, social, and governance impacts through a number of reporting frameworks. Now, pause for just a moment. There's a term you have to get comfortable with, or you'll never be able to wrap your mind around the why when it comes to the rest of this stuff, okay? And that term is a stakeholder. Stakeholder. Now, don't worry if you're confused. Hear me out. Let's say I'm a Johnny Big Shot, and I want to invest in Bank of America. Here, I'm going to take, what does it cost to invest in Bank of America? I don't know. $10,000. Here's $10,000, and I'm going to buy $10,000 of Bank of America shares. Okay, now what am I now? Remember, this is a public company, so what am I? I'm a shareholder. I own shares. I'm a shareholder. I'm an owner of Bank of America, if that's the case. And what's the job of a corporate boardroom? What is a board, a corporate board, a CEO, all these vice presidents, all these this and that? What's their real job? In a corporation, in a publicly traded company, their only job is to make money for me, the shareholder. It's your job, board members. You actually work for me. Take the $10,000 in shares I bought, and you make me happy as a shareholder. Your job is to make my $10,000 worth $12,000 or $15,000 or $20,000. Are you with me? That's their job. Their job is to live a life of service, if you will, to make money for the shareholders. But you don't see that word shareholder on that bank's ESG page, on your bank's ESG page you pulled up, do you? Go ahead, look around and take a second. Do you see the word shareholder in there anywhere? You do not. But here's a word I guarantee you are looking at on your bank's ESG page. You're looking at a word called a stakeholder? What's a stakeholder? Michael, you looking this up yourself right now? Do you see the word stakeholder? You see stakeholder right there. Okay. Well, what does that mean? Well, this is really what it all comes down to. This is a gigantic corporate government communist effort that they have adjusted wording to so you don't know that's what it is. Bank of America, their board, instead of getting together to worry about me, the shareholder, instead they now get together and they worry about stakeholder. Now, what does that mean? A stakeholder is anyone on the planet, not who owns B of A shares, anyone on the planet who may be affected by B of A's policies. Now, the Bank of America board, they no longer sit down at a boardroom and they have a discussion about how to make the shareholders more money, they get together and they talk about how they're global citizens. Simple communism. Remember, globalism and communism are the same thing. Global citizens. In fact, they're not stressing about making me money at all. They're worried about the stakeholders. But wait, there's more. And I'm actually glad I chose B of A, because right here on this page, I'm looking at a 2021, there's a link for it, an annual report. Still with me? Let's walk through this together. Hang on. Let's click on this button here, right here on the old cell phone. Annual reports and proxy statements 2021. I'm doing this live. You can walk through this with me if you want. Bank of America, ESG, annual reports, proxy statements. It says something about cookies. Michael, what are cookies? Am I supposed to understand what cookies are when it comes to the internet? They're not for eating, and that's all I need to know. Okay, but do I accept cookies? It says it uses cookies. Okay, try not to. All right, I'll try not to. I just hit close. Maybe that worked. Maybe it didn't. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. An annual report for 2021? Okay. Let's click on that. So I clicked through again, the annual report for 2021. And what I'm looking at here is driving responsible growth now and going forward. There are other things under this annual report, like financed emissions targets. That might be interesting, right? Why is B of A talking about emissions targets? Bank of America announces, this is the top of the page, this is not my writing, announces the 2030. Do you remember that guy on the radio about 30 seconds ago who was telling you about the 2030 plan of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations? Are you creeped out yet, by the way? Oh, I'm not finished. We're about to nerd out on this, and I'm going to set the phone down. We're going to do this live together. Why is Bank of America talking about the same thing the World Economic Forum and the same thing the United Nations are? What's going on here? Hang on, and you're going to understand ESG, and we'll get to, well, puberty blocker ugliness, that and more tonight. But let's just say, suffice to say, it's a really, really, really good idea for you to have that emergency food supply right now. Because this attack on all these supply chains and attack on prosperity itself, it's not taking place in the future, and it's not taking place gradually anymore. 2030 is 8 years away. These people are full speed ahead. Do you have an emergency food supply for yourself and every member of your immediate family who lives in your household? If you don't, that's fine. My Patriot Supply will get you one. They send it to you in unmarked boxes. It gets there quickly. And inside that box, you're going to find a 3-month emergency food supply, 2,000 sustainable calories a day. And they're giving my listeners $150 off. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com and get one. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Go now.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We are out here wishing you a very merry
Buenas tardes
from me to you. Back to what we're talking about, in case you missed it. Or if you miss any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. But in case you missed it, we're talking about ESG right now. Someone wrote in and they want to know about ESG. And as I've been explaining, this is that thing you have to understand right now. And most people don't even know what it is. And so might as well do a little explainer. So what I said was pull out your phone, pull out your computer. As long as you're not driving, look up the name of your bank and ESG. And your bank almost undoubtedly has its own ESG page. And I'm walking you through Bank of America's right now. You can walk there with me. Bank of America, this is dated April 13th of this year, by the way, announces a 2030 financing activity targets as part of a net zero commitment. Now, what's net zero? That's carbon emissions. Bank of America today announced 2030 targets for reducing emissions associated with financial activities related to three key sectors: auto manufacturing, energy, and power generation. The targets are outlined in the company's approach to net zero. It goes down to list their goals for the energy sector, for the auto manufacturing sector. Do you think it's a really big deal if the gigantic financial institutions are no longer going to finance sources of energy that work so they can get a better environmental social governance score? Do you think that might be a really, really, really important thing that's going on? Oh, you can go through and read this document. It's only four pages. It's fascinating. But I wanted to go to another little part here, because they actually have this. So this, I think this would be the best way to explain it to you. They actually have scores for themselves. This is public information. I'm doing this live on the air. You can watch it. You can do this with me if you want. Bank of America. They have a 2021 environmental social governance performance data summary. Okay, so that'll be helpful, right? What exactly are they grading themselves on? Here's an interesting one. Diversity, inclusion, and aspects of human rights total training hours. They had 90,000 of those in 2019, 108,000 in 2020, 158,000 in 2021. Would you like to know why your HR department has all hands on deck meetings where everyone at your company has to set aside their job and go learn about how evil white people are and why everyone should be gay? That's because your company's trying to ratchet up its ESG score. Oh, but wait, there's more. Unique employees and contractors trained on the enterprise risk framework. Now, I don't expect you to know what that is, but unique employees, what does that mean? That's everyone but white people. Just know that. On and on and on. You can go down the list. Parental leave. What's their grade on parental leave? Another big thing out there. They go on to describe how many hours, how long have you practiced? Look, do white people at your company, do they know what evil colonizers they are? Are the people at your company aware that that SUV they're driving? This is mainstream. This is not crazy. It's not some random internet blog. This isn't tinfoil on your hat stuff. You cannot possibly understand why we are where we are and where we're going until you understand that the corporations of the West, this is not isolated to America, the corporations of the West have officially joined forces with the governments of the West. And they have decided that if they simply join together, they're so powerful, they can rule like kings and queens, and they can support each other. Michael, go ahead and play it, please.
Global health equity has made progress. We saw once again with COVID, we're not there. So we're pleased to be working with Pfizer, and we're talking to the entire pharmaceutical industry about these kinds of initiatives and how we can broaden them as part of the whole ESG effort.
If that voice sounded familiar, that was Bill Gates. You see, what's happening is this. Have you ever heard of the triumvirate or the first triumvirate? Do you want to do a little history with me? We're about to do a little history because I think it'll help. I think it'll help everybody understand exactly why the corporations and the governments have joined together. Let's rewind all the way back. We're going back to ancient Rome here. Come back to ancient Rome with me. Back in ancient Rome, we are in the period of time where Rome was still a republic. So there wasn't Caesars or dictators, kings, you know, who ruled over it. It was still a republic. It was run by the Senate. But this is a period of incredible upheaval in Roman times. It's wild if you ever read about it, do any reading on it. It was one of those things. Wrap your mind around this. Senators would go around town in Rome and they would have a hired pack of gladiators, trained gladiators with them, because there's a chance they would run into this rival senator and they would just have to have a big sword fight there in town and they would just be stabbing each other right there in the streets. That's what Rome was descending into as the government was getting more and more broken. It was that kind of wild. And there were these populist leaders who kept rising up and saying the government's too corrupt. They're taking advantage of the people. They're bringing in all this foreign slave labor. The working people are being crushed. We need to stop it. We need to stop it. And then they kept killing the populist leaders. Then Julius Caesar comes along. And I'm not going to do a Julius Caesar thing, but Julius Caesar comes along, another populist leader, very, very, very capable human being, incredible military commander. He appears to be a whole lot more talented than the others. But he's just now coming up through the ranks here, and he's getting to national prominence in Rome. But let's set him aside for a moment. There was Julius Caesar, and then there was a man by the name of Pompey Magnus. Pompey Magnus, he was a very accomplished general by this point in time, a hero, a legend in Rome. He's the guy who has one of my all-time favorite quotes, "Do not quote laws to men with swords." That's Pompey Magnus, right? That's Pompey, total stud. Pompey Magnus is at a point in his life where he's kind of reached the ceiling. He can't seem to break through anymore, and he's an ambitious human being. And then there's a man by the name of Crassus, possibly the richest human being who ever lived. You would think Crassus had it all, but he wanted more too. Now, what do these three guys have in common? Well, at this point in the story, they're not friends. In fact, especially when it comes to Pompey and Crassus, they're enemies. What does this have anything to do with ESG or the World Economic Forum or where we're going? I will explain in just a moment. Hang on. I'm getting tired.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we are rocking and rolling here on a Wednesday night. The show went completely off the rails. We're officially talking about history now because we've been talking about ESG. And I mean, look, what are we going to do? Are we going to sit and listen to these nut jobs all night, or are we going to have fun?
Cultural issues were very popular in that room. Former President Trump went on a long rant about transgender Americans, and he used transphobic language. In particular, he was talking about transgender women competing in sports and said that they were men trying to compete against women, which, of course, is not the right way to talk about that issue. But what you saw there was sort of the belly of the beast, the Republican.
Not the right way to talk about that issue. Man, these people are going to get crushed in November. All right, back to what we were talking about, ESG. And then we rewinded to ancient Rome. And I'm going to tie all these things together. But what I said was, why this government corporate partnership today? Why would they do that? Well, we're back to Rome. There's Julius Caesar. He's on the rise. There's Crassus, maybe the richest man in history. He's a super rich Roman. But he wants more than he has. And then there's Pompey Magnus, major Roman hero, general by this point in time. But again, kind of fallen out of favor, has some more things that he wants. Now, what happens? Well, all three of these men, they all want something that's out of their reach. And they all want different things, right? Julius Caesar, he's drowning in debt. So Julius Caesar is not allowed to leave Rome. Well, Julius Caesar wants to go be a general and go kill a bunch of barbarians somewhere. He had his eyes on France, Gaul, it was called at the time, but he wasn't allowed out. So that's what Julius Caesar wanted. Crassus wanted more money and power. Plus, you know, he wanted some general accolades he didn't quite have yet. Pompey Magnus wanted to stay in the limelight, be consul again. They all wanted something, and they all figured something out. Alone, we're dead. We can't take on the system and get the things we want if we all three try to do it separately. But if all three of us were to join together, you have the power of Julius Caesar and the power of Crassus and the power of Pompey Magnus. Their power together would be greater than the power of the forces that oppose them, and they could, in the end, all get what they want. Why is there a government corporate partnership? I mean, it's a long answer. The real truth is we lost our education system a long time ago, and we have produced, especially from our elite universities, generation after generation after generation of full-blown America-hating communists, and they now run corporate America, and they now run the government. But again, that doesn't explain totally why would they join together. They join together because when you combine the monopoly on violence held by the government with the money the government has, you combine that with the money and the influence of corporate America. I mean, they're making your TV commercials, right? They're making your movies. When those two join together, it creates this ultra-powerful entity. They think that's their triumvirate. They think joining together, they can get what they want, and the will of the people don't matter at all. Understand this about World Economic Forum and ESG and all these things we talk about. The idea behind it, the entire idea behind it, is simply Western society is way too free. These kings and queens, these people who think they're beyond God, these people feel like the restrictions that have been placed on their power are absurd, and they're hurting the world back. They're holding the world back, and you and your stupid freedoms, you're keeping Yuval Noah away from moving beyond the God of the Bible.
The only thing God managed to create are organic beings. All these trees and giraffes and humans, they're just organic. But we are now trying to create inorganic entities, inorganic life forms, cyborgs, artificial intelligence, and so forth. If we succeed, and there is a very good chance we will, then very soon we will be beyond the God of the Bible.
those people look at you and your freedom, freedom to choose where you work, freedom to choose where you live, the freedom a vehicle and affordable gas gives you, the freedom to adjust the temperature in your home, whatever you want. They look at all of your freedoms as something that's holding them, the communist dictators of the future, the commissars of the future. Your freedoms are holding them back. That's why there's a World Economic Forum. That's why there's ESG. That's why there's a government corporate partnership. Remember, the ideology that's behind all of this, though, is simple communism. They infiltrated, they ideologically subverted our society. In case you forgot, here's KGB defector Yuri Bezmenov explaining the ideology. But understand, as you hear him explain it, he's explaining about the ideology of the people who now run the world.
Ideological subversion is the slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled, because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
Access to true information. How it doesn't matter to people anymore. I'm actually glad Yuri led us there, because I initially laughed off this monkeypox thing as them trying to gin up a scare, but it'll go away. Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm still laughing it off, and they're still trying to gin up a scare, but this thing's really not going away. Do you want to hear the latest on all this monkeypox filth? We'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk about caring for widows and orphans. Seems like I read about that somewhere, how we're supposed to do that. One of the reasons I love Tunnel to Towers is that's their mission. They not only take care of catastrophically injured veterans, they're building them smart homes. They come alongside these Gold Star families and they pay off their mortgages. They're building them an entire community in Florida. Tunnel to Towers, after 9/11, they didn't sit around sucking their thumb. They chose to give back. And the best thing by far about Tunnel to Towers is the money goes where they tell you it's going to go. Do not take my word for it. I don't want you to. Go look up their charity rating. There's all these different charity ratings. Look up Tunnel to Towers in all of them. They're pretty much perfect. They don't lie to you. When they say they're giving to widows and orphans, they're giving to widows and orphans. They ask you and me for $11 a month. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
On a show, but I heard it in the app.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show out here changing people's lives on a Wednesday.
Changing people's lives.
By answering emails and talking about ESG. Jesse, I figured out why I listen to your show more and more, and probably why more and more people are listening too. You sound like my dad would have sounded if I'd have had one. Says you can use my pronoun. It's dude. And he finishes off by saying semper tardes. That's actually really sad. But do I sound like people's dad? Michael, do I sound like people's dad? Oh, how their people would want their dad to be? That's a really nice compliment. I'm not used to that. Dear radio daddy, good grief, what is with you people? I too am balding, but I'm far younger, 29. Maybe you can compliment your lack of hair with an excellent mustache. Remember, Democrats lose 40-plus seats at the midterms, or I shave a mustache in. I'm excited about it. See, I'm torn. I'm not going to lie to you. I want to try the mustache. I feel like with the thickness I have going up here, I feel like I could have a total Tom Selleck in Magnum PI mustache going. Have I ever had one, Michael? Actually, I have. When we were in Iraq, we all decided we were going to grow mustaches, but the Marines have extremely strict standards on facial hair. You're not allowed a beard or goatee or anything like that. You are allowed a mustache, but it's very strict as well. It has to be so far above the lip and so many inches. It kind of ends up looking a little Hitler-y. And we all grew them, and we thought it would be funny to all grow them. The wife saw a picture of it and was mortified, absolutely mortified. See, this one now, it would be allowed to grow. It would be allowed to grow. I feel like it would be good. With the release of the information on the Uvalde massacre, do you believe the Texas DOJ will bring charges to the coward officers that stood by and allowed children to die? I haven't addressed this in a while, but the new video came out and it makes them look even worse than they somehow looked before. Like I've said before about the Uvalde massacre, I don't know a man, at least I don't think I know a man in my life of any kind, of any profession, who would stand by with a long gun in his hand while 10-year-olds were being executed in the classroom right by him, let alone cops. I know a lot of cops. I'm friends with a lot of cops. I don't know any cops like that. You can officially count me in the conspiracy theory realm when it comes to Uvalde. It's so odd. It's so out of place. It's so outside any kind of experience I've had with cops that something's wrong. Something's off. And I've heard two different theories, and I don't have any information on this. I don't know. But I've heard two different conspiracy theories. Who knows what might be real, what might not be. But I'm officially creeped out by that. I don't know. Look, hey, maybe I've had a lot of people email in. Maybe it's as simple as screaming at the cops for 2 years that they're a bunch of racist scumbags and telling them all they should be defunded has created an environment of police who don't want to risk anything anymore because they're not going to die just to be demonized afterwards. I mean, maybe it is as simple as that. Even though Democrats are trying to pull this whole switcheroo, when I heard this from Eric Swalwell, I knew the polling must be really bad for Democrats.
We have consistently shown that we want to fund the police. We voted through the American Rescue Plan for millions to fund community policing. Most Republicans voted against it. We voted to give the Congressional Gold Medal to the police officers who defended the Capitol, and over a dozen Republicans voted against that. We have voted to increase the policing around the Capitol to stop another January 6th. And almost every Republican voted against that. And so the Republicans have shown themselves not to be pro-cop, but pro-coup in their inability to denounce the violence that continues to brew around the Capitol and our democracy.
That polling must be really, really, really bad. Very, very bad. Speaking of polling,
the more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles.
What, Chris? We can make jokes. That was the Rear Admiral. We can make jokes on the show. It's a radio show. We're allowed to make jokes. Gosh, being such a square. Do you have your summer sheets yet? You have your Percal sheets from MyPillow yet? Summer sheets, baby. Summer sheets. I need to clarify. Once their stockpile is gone, and it is now officially rapidly dwindling because we've been talking about it for 2 weeks now, Once it's gone, it's gone. There's not going to be another run of summer sheets because they're summer sheets. They're breathable, cool. They're glorious. I believe I'm a hot person at night. And I know what you're probably thinking, Jesse, I think you're hot all the time. And that's true. But I'm a hot person at night. Percal sheets. I don't wake up with that little puddle of sweat in my chest anymore in between my great pecs here. What, Chris? Go. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener specials. Promo code Jesse gets you a deal. I mean, we're talking a queen size is normally $89.98. They're $39.98 right now. That's a lot of money. Percal sheets. Get yourself a couple pair, a couple sets. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Or maybe you're driving. That's fine. Just call them. 800-845-0544. 800-845-0544. Jesse. At 6'8", do your feet hang off the end of your bed? Says I can say her name. Her name is Sue. My feet have been hanging off the end of every bed I've ever slept in for most of my life. When I was a childhood, remember, we weren't starving by any stretch of the imagination. My folks always provided, but we certainly did not have what you'd call money. So there were no, you know, queen-size beds for the kids. You got a wee little single bed. And I was very, very tall. I've always been tall. I didn't have one growth spurt. My entire life, I've been getting longer. It's just one gigantic growth spurt. My feet were hanging off the end of my bed by the time I was 12 or 13 years old. Oh, I know. Oh, Chris, did I ever tell you about the time I set that bed on fire and didn't know it? Oh, I didn't tell you. Oh, you know what? Let's pause real quick on the 6'8" thing. I forgot about this. So we had these electric candles in our house. Electric candles. Now, just picture a candle, except on top, instead of there being a flame, there's just a bulb, just an open light bulb. Are you watching me on the simulcast? I'm acting it out for you right now. If you watch the show, you'll see I work with my hands a lot and kind of sign these things out. TheFirstTV.com/Jesse if you want to sign up to watch the simulcast. Anyway, we had these candles. And they had just a bulb on the top. Now, hindsight is always 20/20, right? It's always easy to look back and think, gosh, that was really stupid and non-safe. Like lawn darts. Everyone makes jokes about lawn darts out there now. But really, that was a genuine thing that kids played with. Let's throw the javelin in the air and see where it comes down. What, Chris? Oh, Chris, I'm defending it. Look, I think kids should smoke cigarettes. I get it. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm joking. But again, it's crazy, right? So in hindsight, having just this open bulb in various places around the house was probably not the safest thing in the world. Either way, you know that I don't brag, right? Even though I'm the Oracle, I would never brag. But you also know that I'm a top 5 napper in the world. In the world. I nap all the time. I go to sleep right away. I wake up feeling refreshed. I'm just a great napper. But it's more than that. It's a natural, God-given ability to sleep. I sleep. I sleep well. I sleep through the night. And I sleep very, very soundly. Especially as a child, I would sleep soundly, which brings me to this special night when I was a child. I think I was 7 or 8 years old. I don't know. As a child, I go to bed at night. One of these electric candles is at the head of my bed. That turned out to be dumb. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.